Good day, I'm Jackie Judd. This week, Kaiser Health News launched an important new series on a part of the healthcare industry that typically gets very little attention, children's hospitals. Reporter Gil Gull spent months looking at the finances of the largest and wealthiest children's hospitals, which are considered the elite providers of care for children. Gil is with us to share some of what he learned. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
This is a relatively small percentage of the healthcare sector of healthcare spending. Why focus on it?
Well, it's true it's only about 5% of the overall healthcare sector, but it's an important piece of that sector, not only because these are the elite children's hospitals, the care they provide, the wealth they've managed to accumulate over time. They reflect a lot of the same pressure points that we see in the overall healthcare system. We're at Kaiser interested in the issue of costs, so certainly we wanted to look at that. And finally, I'd say that the world of children's hospitals, while they have been able to amass a fairly surprising amount of wealth over the last decade, is beginning to change, just as it is for adult hospitals.
But one of the things you did find was that for a period of time, at least, some of the pressing financial issues on many hospitals didn't affect children's hospitals quite as much. How and why?
Well, for a variety of reasons. Children's hospitals are unique in a lot of different ways, and financially, they're certainly unique. For one thing, all children, or nearly all children, are covered by one type of insurance or another. So you don't have the levels of uncompensated care, of underinsured patients that you see in the adult system. They're able to raise funds and raise money much more easily than adult hospitals, because we all like kids and we're more willing to open our pocketbooks for them. So I looked at children's hospitals over a decade, using bond documents, tax returns, and audited financial statements. And I looked at the elite top providers because they were the easiest ones to be able to get this information for. Lots of other children's hospitals are part of adult systems and they don't break out their information. Mm-hmm. But over that decade, really until the last year or two, with this great recession that we're going through, still going through, they enjoyed a kind of market power that many adult systems didn't have, a unique ability to raise their rates and raise money.
And why? I mean, how did,
well,
how
because
do you
in most regions, you really only have one large regional children's hospital. There may be two in a few markets. Because they are what we call must-have hospitals. That is, you need some place for this kind of sophisticated, highly technical care at many children's hospitals. You don't have a lot of alternatives. Where are you going to take your child if you need that kind of cancer care or open heart surgery or something like that? Because they are a must-have hospital, that again gives them unique power over insurers when it comes to negotiating rates and leveraging that power in negotiating rates. So they haven't had the same kind of economic and financial pressures, for the most part, during this decade that you've seen some of the other hospitals.
Were you able to document whether rates at children's hospitals, bills at children's hospitals, rose at a faster clip than other hospitals?
Well, that gets an interesting question of transparency. I mean, for the most part, rates of all hospitals, you can't really get at. It's not as if they publicize their rates. And also, the way rates are counted for by hospitals varies from hospital to hospital, and mm-hmm. some hospitals use one system, some hospitals use another. So it's not always apples to oranges. But I know enough about reading a financial statement and reading footnotes and bond documents that I was able to see for specific hospitals, because they would frankly boast about it in bond documents, that they were able to raise their rates at levels that I found were 2 to 3 times inflation over periods of time. And that's pretty hefty increase.
And in the third part of the series, Gil, you share a telling anecdote that reflects how times are changing, even for these children's hospitals. Right. Tell us what happened.
Well, so about a year ago, there was a meeting in Philadelphia at a hotel at which many of the CEOs of these large children's hospitals attended. And the point was, there were various panels and sessions, and they were talking about the changes that are mm-hmm. beginning to affect children's hospitals. Everything from, will there be pediatric ACOs in the future, to cuts in Medicaid, state budgets, all the pressure points that are beginning to affect children's hospitals in their economics going forward. I interviewed a physician who's also a consultant for children's hospitals a couple of times, and he said something pretty interesting to me. He said, you know, in the past, you'd come to these meetings and there was actually a level of arrogance in the room. Maybe arrogance is too strong a word. Certainly confidence, a lot of confidence in the room about children's hospitals, their futures and their economics. He said, you know, I walked into this session and what I saw was there was just far less arrogance in the room than in prior years. Mm-hmm. And it was almost as if there was a humbling element going on, that the CEOs were recognizing that, you know, the world really is beginning to change for us too, and it's beginning to change pretty quickly.
And what is that, what might that change mean, not only for the industry, but for the people these hospitals serve?
Well, yeah, I mean, for the industry, it's probably just going to mean, boiled down, fewer dollars, or if not fewer dollars, certainly slower rates of increases in those dollars, which is
a slowdown in the building boom, maybe?
Well, it could be a slowdown in the building boom. There's been a tremendous building boom mm-hmm. of children's hospitals in the last decade. It's you know, again, there's no one data source, but on my own, I tracked at least $15 billion plus in new construction, including one alone that's $915 million. And yeah, that's already begun to slow down, and there are a couple cases where people have pulled back from that. So you have that. I think everyone's worried about what's going to happen at the state level, and that's primarily with Medicaid and SCHIP. What kind of dollars are going to be mm-hmm. available? Are those things going to be cut back? You have the tension between larger numbers of uninsured, even children, coming forward, versus what kind of money is going to be available for that. Now, the advocates will tell you, children's advocates will tell you, we're really worried about this. We're worried about everything from, will they be able to get access to a pediatrician, to will we have enough doctors to get trained if those dollars get cut, to will they be able to get access to more sophisticated care at mm-hmm. the hospital level. So, you know, to sum it up, those are the kinds of fears that they're looking at.
Okay, thank you so much. Good
You're
work.
You're welcome. Thank
Gil
you.
Gohl, author of Building Ambitions.